It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is Friday. We made it to the end of the week. Hope you're having a good start to your day. It's still a little gloomy, rainy, all that stuff. Maybe that'll go away eventually. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos behind the glass. And JoJo, what's up?
Man, it is although it's dreary outside, it's Friday, baby. It's going to be a good weekend. Mother's Day weekend. We'll get into a lot of that later on about honoring and celebrating your mom. We want to hear from you and what makes your mom special and all that good stuff. So we'll roll through this today, my brother.
Yes, we will. And we definitely want to honor the moms. And in fact, I think we're going to have a very special guest at some point in the show.
10:15.
10:15 is when that's happening?
Yes.
Oh, I cannot wait for this.
Cannot wait either for this. So, Dr. Crane, you ready for our special guest at 10:15?
Indeed I am.
She is the reason we do the show.
She's the reason why I'm actually here.
Yeah, right.
Nani is going to join the show.
I cannot wait.
It's going to be fantastic.
Some people in the area, she's a Nashville legend.
That's true.
That's right.
So we will look forward to that and hearing more about Dr. Crane and all that he does. So he's obviously a special part of our family. So it'll be cool to here just bump into that mic, Jim.
Well, the mic doesn't. It won't. And this is a lot of what that's what she said coming up. The mic won't bend over. It won't twist. It won't turn. It's like kind of stuck in one position. It won't go down.
That's what she said.
So I'm trying to turn it down without breaking it. I don't know what to do. All right. So anyway, I'll hit it like five times. Apologize. So it's all good with there.
Yeah.
Right there. So Chase, let's start real quick. Shout out to your mom, who is a beautiful, beautiful human being. What makes your mom so dang special?
Oh, man. There's so many things that make her special. Her heart, you know, she's a teacher. She has been teaching for a long time, basically longer than my life. And so she does a lot, you know, to help mold the youth of America. So, but she's been a fantastic mom to me and always there for me. I'm a little under the weather. I'm 37 years old and I got like 1,500 texts from her last night of, what do you need? Do you need something?
Oh,
you know,
that's
so
great.
I mean, it's just mom, you know, and so it's she's been fantastic. So I you know, you've gotten to know her over the years and everything. So we love Carol.
Yes, we do. Do you remember a time when she spanked you? Please tell me there was one time.
Probably when I was when I was younger. Now the thing with her was I always, like, it was school. Like I if I had a bad report card or a progress report or something, that's when I got scared of her. Cause she was a teacher. So it was like, oh no.
Oh, then you knew, man. It's like,
and here's the best part. She knew that the only reason I had a bad grade was because I just wasn't trying. I wasn't applying myself. And that's when I'd get the, you know, just the crossed arms, the, you know, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, that hurts. That's the bad. That's the worst one. Dr. Crane, what about your mom?
Oh, I love my mother. My mother is just the absolute rock to the family. I mean, I'm not discluding my father, but my mom does a lot, especially with my dad. But she's been cutting hair for 40 plus years. Anytime that my hair did not meet the right requirements at grade school, my mom would do it on the spot. Kind of like Chase, I wasn't able to really act out in school. One, because my mom cut all my teacher's hair, so like didn't really work out that well for me there. But yeah, I'm very thankful for my mom.
Hey man, your dad's got his own day in June.
You're right.
So,
you're right,
yeah. We'll celebrate him then.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for my mom. Without her, I don't think I'd be in the position I'm in today. Not work purposes, but just in general.
Oh, you wouldn't be here. There's no
yeah,
question.
There's that.
I wouldn't either. So.
So, yeah, she's really helped me through a lot of hardships in my life, and it's just been very, very gratifying to look back and say, hey, thanks, Mom.
That's awesome. I will tell you, I had a football coach when I went to play off to college to play football. We had a meeting. The first meeting, he wrote three things on the board, and I'll never forget this. We're all coming together, different parts of the country, getting ready to play football, and he had three things. Number one said, don't embarrass your teammates, don't embarrass the program, and the last thing was, don't embarrass your mother. And I'm telling you, man, that's been almost 40 years now, and that's the one thing I remember from going off to college to play football was those three words. And I tell my son all the time, I said, look, I can handle anything that you do. But remember, when you do something, think to yourself, is this going to embarrass my mom? No matter what, do not embarrass your mother. My mom's been gone 14 years, and I still live by do not embarrass your mother.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass your mom.
It's great. It is fantastic advice to live by.
It is. So all that.
And, you know, not to get too mushy and everything, but, you know, I've been very open. My dad passed away about 3.5 years ago with cancer, and our last conversation, basically the last thing he ever said to me was, take care of your mom. So I made that promise. Not that I was going to do that no matter what, but that's kind of that code that I've lived by. So we're celebrating moms today, and if you want to call or text and say something cool about your mom, a story about your mom, 615-737-1025. That's our question of the day, basically, is just honoring moms. We're going to have a few people call in throughout the show and talk about moms. We'll have our guests and everything. Greg Wyshynski going to join us at 9:30, Chris Sanders at 10. And then it's a big one in Knoxville in baseball. Vanderbilt going to take on the Vols. We'll talk to the voice of the Commodores, Andrew Allegretta, coming up at 10:30, and get his thoughts on that matchup as well. So a lot of good things today.
Yeah, big weekend. So we have all the questions. You can call in. We want to hear about what makes your mom special. But I tweeted out earlier, the greatest TV mom of all time. I know we do this every year. The greatest TV mom of all time. Chaser, who's the greatest TV mom of all time?
I mean, for me, it's Marge Simpson. Come on. Gotta love Marge.
Oh, yes. I'll dig it.
Marjorie.
For me, it is the one and only Cindy Walsh from 90210, Carol Potter.
Ah.
Followed closely by Florida Evans. They're like one and two in my life for TV moms. Claire Huxtable's got to be up there, right?
Yeah, it's a good one.
And there's others. Edith Bunker. Edith was a good mom.
She was.
She got things going. She knew what was going on. Another. So we have a fun show today, so just let us know what you think about that.
I like that. Have you seen this news that apparently Bill Belichick's girlfriend has been banned from North Carolina from the football facility?
Now, is this real? Because I don't know what's real and what's not real anymore.
I believe this is real. This is, I mean, pretty much everybody's running with this now. So I heard it at the end of Robbie and Rex Road. This is from Bleacher Report. The University of North Carolina has banned Jordan Hudson from its football facility, according to Meadowlark Media's Pablo Torre. And Pablo Torre is a reliable source. So, Torre also cited a source close to the Tar Heels head coach Bill Belichick, who said there's deep worry for how detrimental Jordan can be for not just North Carolina, but Bill's legacy and reputation.
He ain't wrong, right? That is something. All right, I'm seeing it now. It's all over the place. Okay. But, you know, Belichick had total control of that program. I guess he didn't have total control.
Well, I mean, what are we going to find out here? Like, has Bill lost it completely, or was she just that manipulative? Like, what was the deal?
That's a good one. I don't know. I mean, that's. If what you just said rings true about, you know, his legacy, what's going on. Look, nobody's talking about him, coach. It's like, hey, man, have you seen Bill Belichick's girlfriend and what happened on that CBS interview? That's all people talked about. So I guess the family stepped in and said, look, this isn't good at all.
No, it's not. And it's like, you know, we've all kind of been in those situations, I think, where we've been a little blinded. You know, love blinds, so to speak, or whatever this is. But I don't get it. This is such a not, like, so opposite of anything Bill Belichick would ever do that it just, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's the whole story, but it's something we can't get enough of.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, it's, you mentioned 90210. It's like that. You can't look away.
It is.
I mean, it's a drama.
I didn't expect to hear that news. Again, I was looking on the – I was like, it's got to be fake. This got to be fake. But evidently it's not. So banned from the facility.
It's not.
Sure she'll have a word to say about this today. But, you know, if
– Do another 60 Minutes or another CBS interview. something like that.
I'm sure it'll happen. I mean, she's getting her 15 minutes of fame. She's about 13 minutes in now. And so she'll just roll with that.
I mentioned my mom earlier. She just texted me and asked how I'm feeling. So there you go.
Oh.
Shout out to moms.
Even Matt on the text line says, damn it, Chase, I'm ready to send in something great about my mom, but now I'm all emotional driving down I-40. Thanks, Matt.
Sorry, Matt.
Sorry, I got to you. 0178 says, Roseanne is the greatest TV mom of all time.
define great. Like, but that's a good one. Eddie, what was the Munster in the Munsters? What was her name?
Oh, my goodness.
Chris said Eddie Munster, but I think that's the kid, right?
Yeah, that is the kid. Eddie Munster, Eddie Munster looks like Corey Curtis, so that's not him. who is, I know it's Morticia Adams, but I got who's Munster? Judith. Yeah. No, Judith?
I don't know.
When he's
Lily Munster?
That's is the daughter. Lily? That's the daughter, Lily. Grandpa.
Well, Chris said E-D-Y. Is that Edie?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know. I don't know. Scott says Gloria, A Modern Family.
Pretty good.
That's Sophia Vergara.
Yeah.
Dave, Peggy Bundy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Peg Bundy.
Ow. Yeah, that's a good one. That is a listen, I feel like that a lot of people don't appreciate Married with Children and how great of a show that was.
Not at all. I'm with you 100%. One time, like, Al Bundy walked in and she said, Al, did you miss me? He said, yeah, but my aim's getting better. It's just one of the greatest lines ever, man. Awesome.
People don't understand that, like, the sitting on the couch and, like, putting the hand down the pants and just, like, letting out this big sigh. It's like, that's Al.
Right. That's what it was. So it is a Lily Munster, I guess. Lily. There's a lot of people that are – I thought that was the daughter. I guess I was wrong. I haven't seen that show in forever, but Lily Munster. Yeah, so Lily and Morticia Adams and all those.
Okay. Carol Brady getting a lot of votes.
Carol Brady, yeah, that's a great one. I forget about half of these. And we do this every year, and I still forget about half of them. I mean, Florida Evans.
June Cleaver.
Don't say it.
Marilyn was the daughter of the Munsters.
Marilyn.
Yeah, so Lily's the mother. Okay, there you go.
Look at our text line. You guys are great, man. Chase and I are just a bunch of bumbling idiots, and you guys always come through for us. That's good.
We try. It's 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. David in Arkansas says Jill from Home Improvement. That's a good one. Great show. Underrated for sure. We'll take your calls and texts on moms and the greatest TV mom of all time. That is our question of the day. Hair Metal Henry, stand by. We'll get to you coming up next. And also, do we have a special guest?
We do. We have the guy that's responsible indirectly for more babies being born in Nashville than anybody else.
Hair Metal Henry.
He's going to call and talk about his mom, so that's next.
All right, we will do that coming up next. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. We are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. All right, Joe, I'm gonna take Hair Metal Henry's call real quick, and then we'll get to our special guest. Hair Metal Henry has been waiting patiently, a mom's story. Hello, Henry.
What's up, gentlemen? First of all, between all the crap this woman took from James, JJ, Michael, Thelma, Wilona, and Booker, Florida Evans is the greatest TV mom of all time. And unfortunately, my mom's been gone about 7 years, but since Joe brought up the spanking, I thought I'd tell you about the worst one I ever got. So I used to go to church at Hendersonville Baptist Church, and at that time it was next to McDonald's on Gallatin Road. And forever I've been begging my mom to go sit up in the balcony with my friends, but she wouldn't let me do it. So I'm finally 13 years old, and she allows me to go up. She gives me $5 for the offering plate, and I'm going. So I get up to the balcony, and my boys are like, hey, let's ditch church and go across the street to the bowling center and play some video games, and we'll get back before church is over. So I'm like, sure, why not? So we stop at the donut shop, we get a donut, and then we go to the bowling center, and we're playing video games, and I notice it's getting kind of late, so I'm freaking out. So we finally get back to church on time, and I meet my mom, and we go home, And about 30 minutes later, she comes into my room. So how was church today? Oh, I had a great time. Thanks for letting me hang out with my friends. What did you learn? So I'm scrambling to try to remember anything on the church bulletin to try to BS my way out of this.
Oh, no.
And so I give her this story. She says, well, that's nice. Linda just called and said you left your bowling center at the or Bible at the bowling center. And I think it was about 3 days later when I finally came to it. So everybody out there still has your mom. Talk to them. Go visit them. I wish I'd have done that more, but love on your mothers. See you, boys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Henry. Appreciate it. Oh, that's a good one. All right, Joe, you do the honors. Introduce our next guest.
Well, this guy is the absolute best. He's got a big heart. He's a good man. He's a good friend. And I tell you, he's responsible indirectly for more babies in Nashville, Tennessee than anybody else. It's our good friend, Phil Vassar, who's on the road up in New Jersey. Phil, good morning. Thank you for taking time. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? It sounds like you're having fun this morning.
Always having fun. And happy Mother's Day. I texted you to come on and talk about your mom and what she meant to you. What did your mom mean to you, Phil?
Well, she's the sweetest. I mean, she's 80 now, and I'm actually getting ready to go see my mom. In the morning, I'm flying out and at about 5 o'clock in the morning to go see her. So, you know, she's sweet. She was everything. You know, my dad wasn't around, so it was me, my sisters, and my mom. And she was the driving force behind everything I ever did. And she was always there for everything. And she's a sweet, sweet lady, and I can't wait to see her.
I was going to say, when you picked up to come to Nashville on a wing and a prayer, what did she tell you?
You know what? She was the only one that said, do it. And everybody's like, man, you're crazy. You know, whatever. You always get that. But it was time. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I had to go to Nashville to do it, you know. And it was a lot of work. Years and years of, whatever I had to do, bartender or... I had a restaurant and a nightclub because I couldn't get a record deal. I couldn't get songs cut. And then, lo and behold, everybody started cutting them. And I got my deal. And then I've been on the road for 25 years. So there you go. It happened, man. But she was definitely the driving force behind it.
Well, who's the one that took you to piano lessons growing up? Was it mom?
Whatever. I never took a lesson. I've never taken one in my life. I should have.
Wow.
I didn't get the piano. They brought a piano over to my house as a kid that was from like one of my great aunts or something. And I still got that thing in a warehouse in Virginia somewhere. And I just started playing it and figuring it out. I played by ear, of course. A lot of people do that. But I got better and better, and I just started, I wrote a song for my high school graduation. That was kind of the first song I wrote. And then I took it to Nashville out of college, and that's where I've been ever since. I love it.
Phil Vassar is with us. Do you remember what her reaction was the first time she heard you on the radio? Have you talked to her about that? Were you with her?
You know what? I was actually in Virginia when it happened. I was doing a radio show with the local station there in Lynchburg and Roanoke area. And I actually woke up to it. It kind of went off. The alarm went off and my song was playing on. I thought I was dreaming, and Carlene was on. That was my first single. And my mom, she calls over, are you listening to your song? I'm like, Mom, I'm still asleep. What's going on? But anyway, she was so sweet. She was always very proud and still is. I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to see her this weekend.
Now, is she here or is she in Virginia? Where is she at?
She's in Virginia. Yeah, she's in Virginia. And my sisters are there, too, and my nieces. And so we're going to get to go see her. And I'm going to see her and hang out, and, you know, do all that fun stuff. And then, of course, I have to get back out, and I got to go out west, I think, on Tuesday or something. So it's always something. You know, you're kind of running around, but I'm lucky to be doing it right now.
Yeah, so what are you up to these days? Touring, pretty much?
Well, you know, I'm not touring as much as I usually do, but I'm actually, you know, I'm kind of picking it back up a little this year, and then I'll get back up. But, you know, neck are pretty good. You know, the fall's good, and, you know, I'm just enjoying my life. I think for the first time, you know, after, you know, I had a heart attack, all that stuff happened last year, and a stroke and all that. You just don't, I expect, you know, I'm not a drinker and a partier. I worked out every day, and then I died. So anyway, but I did all that happened, and Vanderbilt fixed me. I fixed my heart stuff, and, you know, it was just genetically flawed. You know, I just had a lot of all that crazy stuff going on, and then now, you know, of course, I feel like a different person. They fixed me, and I had a stroke. I went down to Shepherd Center. I spent like 5 months down there.
Wow.
And, but, I, you know, when I came to, I was in a wheelchair, and I'm going, what in the world is going on? And, but anyway, the doctors explained to me what was going on. So it took me a couple of years to recover from all that mess, but I did. And I feel great now. And I'm really happy I get to go see my mom this weekend, man. It's just, Mother's Day means more than, and being with my kids means more than anything now. So it's a great time, you know.
It's beautiful. And you're still here, baby. That's the best part about this. Phil, man, I know you're busy. Thank you. We think the world of you, man. I go back to our Club Vita days working out down the block here. Those were some good times back then, man.
Man, can you believe it? I mean, it's been like, it feels like 100 years, and then it feels like yesterday some days. But
yeah,
but
right?
Man, I'll tell you what, it's something else. We're still here. You're right about it.
I know. You had the long hair, and we thought you were Lex Luger, the wrestler, because you look just like him. And we were all buff and big back then. I'm like, that's Lex Luger. And I'm like, no, that's Phil Vassar, you dummy. I'm like, oh, okay. But, Phil, thank you, brother.
I don't look that way now. But anyway,
none of us do, man. Hey, thank you. Thanks. Much success. You ever need anything, you know where we are, man.
Thank you guys so much for having me, and happy Mother's Day to y'all.
You too, Phil. Thank you, buddy.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil Vassar.
See you, brother. Bye.
Phil Vassar joining us here on the show, and you guys go way back, don't you?
We do. I mean, he did. He looked like Lex Luger. I mean, he was buff and big, and, you know, he played at the Courtyard Cafe and had his club A Hard Day's Night. But I'm telling you, man, Chase, from the mid-90s, everybody went to see him at Courtyard Cafe, and a lot of people got married and had kids because they met at Courtyard Cafe. I know dozens and dozens that did that, so he's a good dude, man.
It's really cool. So we'll continue to take calls, texts, have a few special guests call in as well, talking about moms here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. But coming up next, the Titans rookies, they hit the field this weekend, and there was a historic deal in the National Football League that I wonder, is that going to open up Pandora's box, so to speak? We'll discuss that and much more coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe here on a Friday. Also, tune in to this afternoon starting at 4:15 as the Commodores take on the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll talk to Andrew Allegretta coming up in about an hour. First pitch at 4:30. You can also listen on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Vandy, Tennessee this afternoon. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Friday. I see the theme now with moms. We say hello. Usually it's on Thursday, but a day later, but that's okay. Greg Wyshynski joins us now, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. And Greg, there's a lot to get into, so I'm just going to start locally with the Predators. Barry Trotz finally does his end-of-season press conference on Monday. He announces that Andrew Burnett will be back as the head coach, which was what we all kind of thought. But what were some of your takeaways from what Trotz had to say?
First of all, greetings from the dining car on an Amtrak train coming back from game two in D.C.
Very nice.
Hear any announcements or what have you. It's kind of what we expected, right? We talked about it last week, the idea that, bringing Burnett back was going to give them some consistency year over year. It gives him a chance to make a change if he needs to next season, which could easily be a card he could play to energize the club. But also, as we discussed, the idea that, you know, Barry has experienced a lot of loyalty from the general managers that he's served under, in particular David Poyle, and, you know, has certainly learned at the knee of David Poyle on how to do this job. So the idea that he's not going to be hasty in trying to fire his coach after a disappointing season kind of fits that, I think.
And I respect that and know that that's how he's wired. But I do wonder, with the coaching pool that was available to him this offseason, how much he considered making a change. I mean, he even said that's the easy thing to do was to make a change, and he ultimately didn't do that. But, I mean, there were a lot of good available coaches out there that if he has to make the change in November, probably won't be available.
No, that's true, and that's fair. But also, there's two things at play here. First of all, can you find someone who wants to join the current situation in Nashville over some of the other opportunities that are open right now? And then the other factor is, you know, what does that ultimately do for the team coming into next season? Is it the coach? Is it the roster? I think it's reasonable to ask, you know, if you gave Brunette a few more pieces in particular in the middle of a lineup, can things improve next season?
Greg Wyshynski is with us. One coach that is now no longer available is Joel Quenneville. He was introduced as the new coach of the Anaheim Ducks yesterday. He, you know, spoke a lot about the beach situation and how he handled things or didn't handle things, said that he's learned a lot of lessons. The Ducks did their research and their homework on him, but ultimately Q is back. So and there's going to be people that like this move, think he deserves another chance, and there's going to be people that don't support this move. But what do you think about the news that Joel Quenneville is now back as the head coach of the Ducks?
Well, I mean, from a logistics standpoint, he's a good fit there. I mean, he mentioned it a few times yesterday, but at this point in the Ducks maturation, they're kind of like where Chicago was when he took over there. They've got a lot of young pieces. He could easily be pretty successful in that spot, but, you know, count me as one of these people that doesn't believe that anybody involved in that Chicago scandal deserves another shot in this league. It doesn't mean they can never get another job in hockey. It just means they shouldn't get another job in the National Hockey League. If you read the report, I mean, there's a lot of people in this sport that believe that he's got plausible deniability for what happened in Chicago. But if we're being honest, like, he's quoted by two different people within that report saying that, you know, he's willing to push this down the road or look the other way in order, because he didn't want to mess with the chemistry of a team that was about to play for the Stanley Cup. And to me, making that decision in his capacity, and it wasn't like he was a novice coach at that point, is disqualifying. But the Ducks made their decision, and I know more than a few Ducks fans are not exactly happy about it. So they're going to have to go to the marketplace and probably continue to explain it.
Greg, let's go to the playoff tonight. Big game down in Florida. Toronto take on the Panthers, and I love these stats. It says, in the franchise history, the Maple Leafs have won 84% of their best-of-seven series when going up 2-0. The Panthers are 0-2 in best-of-seven series when trailing 0-2, which leads me to Florida's going to come back and win this. What is going wrong for Florida? What's going right for Toronto?
So what's going wrong for Florida, I think Sergei Bobrovsky's had a pretty bad series so far, a kind of well under his standards. There just doesn't seem to be a...
Uh-oh. The Pullman got him in the car. There he is.
I was going to say, or a sense of confidence in the series for Florida. It's kind of weird. And maybe they just need to feel the backs.
Oh, okay.
Confidence. And not have any doubt about the way that they're playing and not have any doubt about their ability to beat their opponent. I think that tracks to Craig Berube, their coach, and the mentality of this team. But, you know, the Leafs, I mean, if we're being honest, like, they're the team in the East that I'm most impressed with right now, and the team in the East that, to me, is playing well enough to play for the Cup this year.
What would it mean if this Toronto team went all the way and won the Stanley Cup?
What would it mean? It'd ruin a lot of our fun in making fun of this team. That's for one thing. But it would mean a lot for Craig Berube's legacy. I mean, this would be a guy that took two teams that, you know, one team in St. Louis that was last in the league in January, came back and won the Cup, and now a team in Toronto that hasn't won the Cup in 1967, that constantly is you know, tripping over themselves in the playoffs and believing that they're haunted by the demons of the past to lead that team to the cup. I mean, establishes Berube maybe as one of the best coaches in league history. I don't know. It's hard to wrap your brain around the idea that they could, but if you watch this team and see how it's comprised and see the players like Willie Nylander, you know, playing as well as they are and see them playing physically and getting goaltending, there's kind of loot. The Panthers might be our last best hope to keep them from winning.
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of the way that things are looking right now.
The Dallas-Winnipeg series, game one was a lot of fun the other night. Game two tonight up in Winnipeg. How do you see this one playing out? Because I'm telling you, the excitement there, but something about Dallas, like a little chip on their shoulder, and I don't know why, but this is a fun – game one was fun, and I think the series is going to be fun.
The series is going to be fun. I mean, they do have a chip on their shoulder because don't forget, they've lost in the conference final in consecutive seasons, so they clearly believe it's their time. You know, the Mikko Rantanen show, we're going to have three straight games with a hat trick. I don't know. We'll see. But Winnipeg really needs a response here. I mean, this you hate to say a series boils down to what happens in game two, but, you know, if they're down 0-2 going back to Dallas, with Dallas seemingly getting stronger as the playoffs go on and getting healthier as the playoffs go on, I mean, Winnipeg's in a heap of trouble if they don't win game two.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show, and looking at last night, I was watching Vegas and Edmonton. Fun game, great game. Vegas trying to even the series up, and it goes into overtime. Edmonton ultimately gets the game winner. However, the play right before the goal with Braden McNabb and Victor Arvidsson, I mean, it was a total missed call. You know, I thought that Vegas handled it the best they could in the post game and everything. But I mean, Bruce Cassidy has every right to be upset today because, I mean, he even said, listen, Gord's looking at it. He blew it. He missed the call. I don't know what you do about it. There's nothing you can do about it now. But if you're Vegas, you got to be sick today.
You got to be steamed. Like it affected everything. It was a clear trip. I mean, clear as day. It's one of those moments where you're wondering if it's putting a whistle for fit.
Right.
Is the real gut for that team. And look, they know what they're up against right now with Edmonton. Like, you've got the two top guys and Draisaitl and McDavid playing as well as they are. But everything else down that lineup is going pretty well for Edmonton as well, including getting enough goaltending to win. So Vegas is again, in a lot of trouble right now because it seems like Edmonton is really kind of finding themselves at the right time.
Yeah, going to be fun to watch. It's been a fun playoff so far. Greg, appreciate the time as always. Before we let you go, you want to give a shout-out to your mom for Mother's Day?
Yes, Mom. My mom is the best. She's entire insane. And I give her a shout-out to her, and I give a shout-out to my wife, who is the mother of two beautiful kids. So it's happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Love it. Love it. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old and joins us every week. And I mean, Vegas has got to be just livid this morning. I thought Bruce Cassidy handled it with class last night, but
he
was a fun game. And hey, shout out to our man Jake Walman, who scored his first playoff goal last night. So that was that was something to see. There really
pretty
is
pretty cute of him to do that.
Did he have to call you eight times first, Chase, for he scored?
Yeah, about seven, asking what he should do. But it was all good. So the playoffs have certainly been fun. I teased it before. Now we'll get to it. A historic contract for a rookie. Can it open up a can of worms, so to speak? We'll discuss that. Coming up next is Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds continue their series against the Norfolk Tide. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, continuing our discussion about moms. You can call in and give your mom a shout out, tell a mom story, however you want to do it. We'll get to the rookie contract in a second, but Kenny the Mailman has a comment on moms. What's up, Kenny?
Good morning, fellas. Thank y'all for doing this. You can tell it means a lot to a lot of people. And before I tell you my mother's story, Joe, the past 2 years, my wife is a trained chef, Babette, and she's been wanting to make you chocolate chip cookies to get you because your story is so meaningful. And I told her, I still don't think you're eating them yet. Is that right?
If she makes me chocolate chip cookies, I'll eat them.
Your mother made them so well that you didn't really eat them for a while, right?
That's correct.
You didn't think I knew that.
Good.
You've been on her mind the past couple of Mother's Days.
Listen,
I was a child of the 70s, and I was a huge surprise. My mother was in her late 40s when I was born. It was a different world. She didn't drive, didn't go places. It was a different time. But I loved baseball so much, she tried her best to learn how to drive, and my dad bought like a 30-foot-long Chrysler New Yorker for her to drive. She would not love my mom. She would not go over 20 miles an hour, would not get on the interstate. So if there was a game across town at 5 o'clock, we'd leave about 12:45. She could not parallel park. The best I could hope for was for her to let me out at the park. There have been times where you saw a little boy walking like a block and a half away because we parked at a gas station or a mall because my mother would not parallel park. But you know what? She did her best, and she was willing to change so I could do something I love, and that's, you know, true devotion. So I remember my mama very, very well, and thank y'all for doing this.
Yeah, Kenny, don't go anywhere.
Cookies next year. Oh, okay. What do you need?
Let me ask you a question. One thing I miss about my mom is her voice, you know, and so my kids will never know that voice. My granddaughter won't. And I tell you, some days it wrecks me that they won't hear that voice. And I know you probably feel the same way about your mom.
Well, I can't take any more questions, Jackie. I can't deliver mail with tears in my eyes, but I appreciate y'all doing this. See y'all later.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Kenny. Good. That was an awesome call. And talking about our moms, and we'll continue to do that as the show goes on, including a special guest, Nani, is going to call in, and we look forward to that. But I don't know if you saw this, Joe, but you know, throughout the draft process, we talked about wide receiver Jaden Higgins. Of course, started his career with the coach at Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah.
But he has signed his rookie contract with the Houston Texans, a fully guaranteed four-year contract, $11.7 million, making him the first second-round pick in NFL history to have a fully guaranteed contract. How about that? That was pretty cool that he was able to do that. Usually it's the first rounders that get the guaranteed contracts, but Texans general manager Nick Cesario had no issues making history with Higgins, according to his agent. Does this open up a can of worms?
Well, I think it's going to be a thorn in the side of Titans for the next eight games that they play because he's in the Texans. So, they all do. You know, the Deshaun Watson contract that was fully guaranteed, that upset the apple cart in the National Football League. This, not so much. I think it's great that these second-rounders could get this, and that's fine. But, yeah, that's a big deal. And his comments, like you just said, talk about he's a big target. He's a good kid. We look for a nice future with him. Good for him, man. I think it's great.
Yeah, I just wonder if, you know, with a rookie, I mean, you're going to have some that obviously it isn't going to work out. But, like, for a lot of these guys, this is game-changing, you know, for their families, for them. And I know he hadn't played one down in the National Football League, but to know he's going to get almost $12 million guaranteed as a second-round pick is a really cool story. And I agree with you. I think he's going to be a thorn in the Titans' backside because I think this kid's going to be pretty good.
Well, it's $3 million a year roughly. Mm-hmm. Look, that's great. I mean, of course, if he has a good couple of years, he can renegotiate after the third year, but would you not like going into camp knowing that this team, if it's me, if I'm Jaden Higgins and know that this ownership believes in me so strongly that I got the first ever guaranteed contract in the second round, I'm going to do everything. If they ask me to go break rocks in the parking lot, I'm going to break rocks in the parking lot. I would do whatever it takes. Yeah, I think it's great. You're not breaking the bank. You're not paying Legarius Sneed $19 million to sit on his ass. I mean, this is good. I like this.
I do too. The Titans have also signed 5 of their 9 draft picks. Cam Ward, not one of those yet, but they got Kevin Winston Jr., Elik Iomanor, Jackson Slater, Marcus Harris, and Khalil Mullins. I got them all locked up as draft picks and then brought in, I think, 16 undrafted free agents that'll join rookie camp. So working through the draft picks, 5 of the 9 that they got locked up, still Cam Ward, you know, and others still yet to be done, but I have a feeling they'll get that done pretty
well. Well, I think, you know, Floyd, when he was a GM, did a great job because I know they had Kenny Holmes held out like one day. He signed, and that was in 97. And then that idiot Pac-Man, he was like their biggest holdout in 05. And I think Chris Johnson might – no, Chris Johnson's going to hold out in 11 with his extension, but they got most of those guys in. So now, you know, these guys are all signed. They're slotted. They're put in. And they're good to go. So, yeah, and the Cam Ward thing's not a big deal. That's already – I think he's already – they already know what he's getting, right? I think so.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's the offset language and things like that that kind of hold him up. But they'll get it done.
Yeah. So, it's good. Good for Jaden Higgins, man, and good for all these. I think it could be a – I don't know why it hadn't happened sooner, but good for him, man.
Yep, for sure. Coming up next –
show.
Coming up next, we'll get Chris Sanders' thoughts on that and rookie camp. He will join us coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.